We're just hearing about Vaishnava Parad, how it can go to that extent. It says in the discussion of King Kansa in 10th Canto of Bhagavatam, it says someone, because he was so offensive to his father, Ugrasen, and also to his sister, Devaki, who were all devotees of the Lord, great devotees of the Lord, and it says if someone offends a great devotee of the Lord, their lifespan, their wealth, their beauty, their social position, even their lifespan can be taken away. So we see generally what happens when someone makes up a rod, Vaishnava parad, first thing that goes is Bhakti Devi. Not fully, Bhakti will still remain in a dormant state. And Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Radharani. So Bhakti Devi brings happiness and brings knowledge. So when a devotee turns his face towards Krishna, then Bhakti Devi, and he takes Vaishnava Diksha, then Bhakti Devi makes a small kutir in his heart. Makes a small cottage. And she lives there. And then the devotee feels some enlightenment, some knowledge comes. He's starting to see things as they are. He's starting to learn something, understand something about his own body, his own existential reality, something about the world. He's getting some knowledge, some light of knowledge is shining in his mind. And also an inner peace and happiness descends upon him because of the effect of bhakti. And because bhakti, and then not only that, then he feels some detachment from this world. Because jnana and vairagya, these are like the children of bhakti. Bhakti, it's a metaphor. Bhakti Devi has two children, jnana and vairagya. Detachment and knowledge. She herself is made of spiritual knowledge, samvit and ladini, which means bliss. It means the ability to feel some happiness, inner happiness. We actually receive an inner wealth. When bhakti comes to us, devotees become wealthy. They become very wealthy. Externally, they may be impoverished. In the Christian tradition, the monks will take a vow of poverty. The monks, what we call sannyasis or tyagis. The monks or the priests, they'll take a vow of poverty and they will not touch money or be involved with money. They simply do their bhajan, their prayers and their pujas to the Lord or the worship of the Lord. So devotees, when this bhakti comes, then all these good things happen to him or her. But if someone offends another devotee, then Bhakti Devi, that's an offense to Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi feels offended, so she withdraws. She withdraws from that person. Gradually. If the offense is small, she withdraws in a small way. If the offense is great, or to a great personality, she withdraws in a big way. When she withdraws her children also, she takes them with her. Usually when a mother goes somewhere, she takes her children. There's one here. There's one mother, there's one children. There's another one upstairs coloring. Little baby one. So when bhakti goes, then first thing goes, then the devotee starts to lose his knowledge. Then then ignorance starts to come inside of him. Ignorance means the tendency to desire material things, the tendency to enjoy, tendency to enjoy separate from Krishna. This is the influence of tamagun, ignorance. When Bhakti Devi is influencing someone, then that spiritual knowledge creates a desire to connect everything with Krishna, to engage everything in Krishna's service. But when bhakti leaves, then ignorance rises and spiritual knowledge diminishes. And then the next thing that happens is that you lose your happiness. Happiness produces a certain ras, a ras. So the bhakti gives a certain ras. It's called bhakti ras. And even the beginning devotee, he's getting some ruchi, although it's ruchi abhas. It's a reflection of the pure ruchi which is available in the higher levels of spiritual advancement. But even a neophyte beginner is getting some taste. He's getting some ruchi, some bhakti ras, taste of chanting, taste of hearing, taste of associating. But when someone offends Vaishnavas, then Bhakti Devi says, no, give me back this taste. Then that nectar that you were tasting starts turning into like bitter water. And then you start thinking, you're ignorant, because ignorance comes in your mind, you start thinking, oh, I don't want to go to the temple. I don't feel like going to Mangalarti. And I'm not interested in class. I don't want to hear class. I don't really want to read. And this chanting is Hare Krishna. It's so dry. And the Vaishnavas, I'll go out and buy my vegetables. I'll stay in my apartment, and I'll just stay here and I'll do my shalagram, my Thakurji, I'll do my puja. This is enough for me right now. I need a break. And then the ego asserts itself in such a way that we think, I am doing this. I need a break. And someone meets you and says, oh, why aren't you coming to the temple? Hey, you're not coming. Oh, I don't feel well these days. I want to stay by myself. And it's so crowded now, festival time. I want to stay in my place. You know, but I'm doing my bhajan at home. And so the ego creates this self-delusion to think that I am doing this. But actually, Bhakti Devi has left you and Kali is taking over. Kali is taking over because Bhakti Devi has withdrawn her merciful glance. And sometimes what's needed in some devotee's life, which I've seen in my own godbrothers and godsisters, their lives would descend in such a way that the best thing for them to do would get a new body. Because the prarabdha karma that they were still struggling with, because until we come to the level of nishta, there's some effect of prarabdha karma. Not much, but some is going, even up to nishta. After nishta, then prarabdha is basically eliminated by bhakti bhajan. But some people, because they continue to water the weeds of kutinati, diplomacy and wrong behavior and offensive behavior, they're chanting and watering the bhakti lata, but they're also watering the weeds of weeds, like weeds, bad plants or destructive plants. And Krishna gives them numerous chances to rectify themselves, but they don't rectify themselves. So then Krishna himself says, okay, better you get a new body. Start again. Because I can't tolerate this anymore. Because Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. I appear, parichanaya sadhana vinashayatu duskritam. Whenever it's duskriti means wherever there's bad behavior. Duskriti means bad behavior. Wherever there's bad behavior, parichanaya sadhanam. Parichanaya means I come to protect my devotees, to liberate my devotees, to protect them. To protect them from what? To protect them from bad behavior. So someone like Ramachandra Puri, we see so many examples in Chaitanya Leela. Someone is acting badly and Krishna removes them. He removes them from the society. Either drives them out of town or drives them out of their body. So this is a very grave lesson to learn, that nothing happens by chance. Everything, and this, we're living on this side of the causal ocean. There's Karna Samudra. Karna Samudra separates the material world from the spiritual world. On this, Karna means cause, causal. So that means on this side, in the material world, in the whole from Bhurvavaswa, Janalok, Mahalok, Tapalok, all these planets, everything, there's cause and effect. But when you go to the other side, Paravyom, in the spiritual world, is causeless. That's why we say bhakti is causeless, kripa is causeless, guru kripa, Krishna kripa is causeless. Causeless mercy, kripa is causeless. Because it's spiritual. It's not produced from the material energy. It has nothing to do with this material energy. But everything on this side, there's a cause and there's effect. You may not see the cause, and may not be able to trace it out. Scientists are good at that. They can't see the intelligent cause behind everything. It's that Krishna is the cause of all causes. So they say, no, it's natural selection, or no, it's this, no, it's that, it's random chance, it's chemical combination, it's a lightning bolt, it was a big soup with some ammonia salts, and then a lightning bolt went there and created one cell, and that. They have all kinds of speculations because they don't want to admit that behind that, what's the cause of the lightning bolt, what's the cause of the ammonia salts, and what's the cause of the cause of the cause of the cause is the supreme intelligent being, or the absolute truth, God himself. But their impiety does not permit them to go that far. So this is, I like this recorder here. It says, there's a recorder here, and the name of the company is Transcend. And it has a window. And in the window it says quiet, quiet, and then it says envy. E-N-V-I. Which I think means an abbreviation for quiet environment. But if you take it philosophically, it says quiet envy. E-N-V-I instead of E-N-V-Y. Envy instead of N-V-I. E-N-V-I. Quiet envy. Well, envy is very quiet. All our bad qualities are very quiet, but they make a lot of noise also. So this is exactly what we're discussing right now. We're talking about envy. Because Vaishnava Parada is based on envy. Because the word Rad means satisfaction. If you love someone, you can't dissatisfy them. Because that's the meaning of love. What is the meaning of love?
Love is to
give satisfaction to another. Yeah, to fulfill the desires of another, to please someone, to satisfy them. That's love. So, apa-rad, means satisfaction, pleasure, happiness. And apa means against. So an apa-rad is something that is against the satisfaction. We say nam apa-rad. Some activity, some behavior, some thinking, some feeling, some words, which are against the satisfaction of the holy name. And who is the holy name? Nami namano. It's Krishna. Krishna's name are non-different. So what the first offense is sadhu-ninda. So if sadhu-ninda means to offend the Vaishnava, offend the sadhu, so then the holy name is very unhappy. Oh, why are you doing this? And again and again and again and again. Oh, I think you should maybe move on to greener pastures. move on to another place. Young age, old age, male, female, gender, it doesn't matter. So this envy is, it says quiet envy. Envy is very quiet. We should make sure it becomes so quiet it doesn't make any noise. we should loudly proclaim our newfound love of Krishna. We should loudly proclaim our sadhu bhushanam, our acquirement of the qualities or the ornaments of a sadhu, titiksha karunika sarida sarvadehinam. Kapila Muni says these are the ornaments, the bhushanam of the sadhu. He's tolerant. Titiksha karuna, he's full of love. He's full. Karuna means love, compassion. There can't be any compassion without love. You have to love others. People are suffering. This is the sign of an intelligent man. He feels the suffering of others to be his own. He doesn't gloat over someone else's suffering or enjoy it. He's not a, what is it, sadist. Sadist? Sadist enjoys the suffering of others. He's Vaishnava Kripa Ambudi. Kripa Ambudi. Ambudi means ocean. Kripa means mercy. This is the Vaishnava. He is supposed to be, let's say, quote, supposed to be, an ocean of mercy. Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. Now we're an ocean of quiet envy. Shh, quiet. Shh, shh. Envy. There's envy here. Yeah, we should, any envy we find inside of us, we should quiet it down. We should keep it very quiet. Down, boys. Stay, go to sleep. You just sleep. Don't make any noise. Don't cry. Don't demand any attention. You just sleep. Matter of fact, take this whole bottle of sleeping pills. swallow this whole bottle of sleeping pills, Mr. Envy, and may you sleep forever. May you always be quiet. May you be quiet, Envy. May you never wake up. May you never speak. May you never act or never walk in my heart again. I only want love to dance in my heart. The holy name should dance in our tongue and love should dance in our heart. This is Prem Natya Guru. It says that Radharani, that it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Radharani is, Krishna is saying that Radharani is my Prem Guru. Prem Natch. Prem is making me dance. Mahaprabhu and Radhabhav, he's speaking in the mood of Krishna. He's saying Radharani's Prem is making me dance. And she's making her dance, and Prem itself is also dancing. So in this divine realm, love moves the heart. And when the heart moves in an ecstatic way, then it expresses itself as dancing. The body is dancing through the impulse of love. That's what Prabhupada said. When you see devotees chanting and dancing in kirtan, it's not a disco. It's not some artificial display. It's not aerobics. Aerobics or something? They play some loud music and they dance around, some kind of exercise. It's not aerobics or some type of... it's actually... The soul is dancing. The soul is jumping. The soul is jumping inside the heart. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. And then, because the soul is jumping, so that force, that push of energy from the soul, that ecstatic feeling of presence of the Lord in His holy name, is pushing the arms up like this. And this is the Garanga Prem Sangha. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. Everyone always dancing like this. You can look all around the world at different kind of dancing. And nowhere will you see this type of dancing that typifies Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. You have Punjabi dance, you have Assamese tribal dances, you have the jungle boogie and disco and rock and you know, Bharatanatyam. There's so many kinds of, that's spiritual dancing. But you have all these kind of modern contemporary dances. And all of them are some kind of thing like this. Like this, or like that. It's something like this. Anywhere you go, in England, Germany, France, anywhere you go, when people are going like this or like this, always there's some kind of holding. They're always holding when they're dancing. They're flexing their, they're holding, they're clenching their fist. No. Maybe if they get anything, they get like one finger up and they go like this. You see these guys in India, at wedding parties in India, dancing, and the guy's riding on the horse, and they get one finger up like this. And they think they're really in ecstasy, right? Yeah, the one finger up kind of thing, and they're going like this. But you never see, their hands will never come much above their head. Because they have to guard everything. The hands are for guarding, protecting the body. That's in a gross level, but everything has a gross and subtle level. The subtle level, people are protecting their egos. Protecting, because everyone's identified with the material body. I am Punjabi, I am French, German, American, whatever. So this ego creates an aura. And the aura is an energy field around the body. So we don't extend beyond our energy field. The energy field is the circle of our ego. Circle of our material identity. So we move around in that. You see people dance, they go, tap, tap, tap. But then you come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, when you meet Srila Prabhupada, and he says, so I'm going to teach you the Swami dance, Swami step. And the Swami step is your arms actually extend beyond your aura. They extend beyond your ego range. Your arms are straight up. You ever see? And you ever see paintings of Lord Chaitanya, you know, with huge arms, he's 7 feet tall. His body is 7 feet tall, then another 2-3 feet his arms. So he's like reaching up. And the whole idea is that that position, that pose is actually surrender. This is Atmanavedanam. This is Sharanagati. This is surrender. Because you're not protecting anymore. You ever see any other kind of dancing, there's basically, even though you're dancing, you're supposed to be like, you know, you're actually protecting because you're always like this. You even see these Indian ladies in the village, they go like this. Like that, right? But you see, but their movements, there's a circle, you know, there's like the Lakshman Rekha. You know, they have this circle, this ego Rekha, Ahankar Rekha. There's a circle around them, and they all move, and you go anywhere in the world. But that circle goes from the head, it starts here, it's like the Michelin tire man. You ever see Michelin tires? It's kind of tire all the time. Anyway, it's a symbol from some French tires. But we have these circles, and it starts in our head and goes to our feet. But in Lord Chaitanya, we go bust beyond that. You know, the arms are like this. Hare Krishna. They're just reaching up. So this position is that you're transcending the ego. This very the physical posture. We have so many books, hundreds of books in psychology about body language, how people sit and what it means, and all these kind of things. People spend years trying to figure it all out, and even then, it's all speculation. And just like you see in the Hindi Panchang, you read. I read 3 or 4 pages about dream interpretations. It's so crazy stuff. Now you read some Western books, they'll give you completely opposite interpretations about what dreams mean. So there's no standard. It's only a projection of your own idea. Because everyone's fallible. Everyone's within the modes of nature, so they can't give any penetrating realistic knowledge. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to give up this body, just to offer it at the feet of the Lord.